Some news now from the world of sports. At the NBA draft last night, the top picks went mostly as expected. Markelle Fultz was the number one selection, going to the Philadelphia 76ers after the Boston Celtics agreed to trade their number one spot for Philly's number three pick and a first-round pick either next year or in 2019. Lonzo Ball went to his hometown L.A. Lakers, his dad along with him, and the only real question was whether the Celtics would select one of two talented small forwards. That's Josh Jackson out of Kansas or Duke's Jason Tatum. And GM Danny Ainge chose Tatum, a versatile pure scorer who should fit well into the Celtics system unless he's traded for a big free agent in the offseason. Jackson had rejected an invitation to work out for the Celtics at their training facility in the weeks leading up to the draft, while Tatum did accept the invite, which likely had some bearing on Ainge's decision to choose Tatum over Jackson. But the Celtics fan base, while not having a problem with Tatum, will ultimately judge Ainge on what, if anything, he does next. If Fultz goes on to become a superstar with Philadelphia and Tatum a footnote in Boston, Ainge will bear full blame. Meanwhile, the biggest story of draft night was a steal of a trade pulled off by the Minnesota Timberwolves, who somehow convinced the Chicago Bulls to trade one of the most sought-after stars in the game in forward Jimmy Butler for guards Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, and the number 7 pick, which the Bulls used to select 7-footer Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. Butler is a player the Celtics, as well as many teams, coveted for his two-way game, and he will be instantly making Minnesota a better team to be reckoned with next year. It's the kind of move many Celtics fans have been waiting for quite some time for Ainge to make, given the bevy of high-level draft picks Boston has acquired over the past few years and has held on to without trading for big-name stars. The Celtics, with Tatum in the fold, are a better team, but without a game-changing established player like Butler in the fold, they are still a grade below the talent level needed to compete with the upper echelon teams like Cleveland and Golden State. Ainge does have the whole summer to do something about that, so he still has a chance to win over a fan base that's hungry for yet another championship banner at the Garden. To Major League Baseball, and the New York Yankees are having a strong season approaching the All-Star break, but they are in danger of turning into the Aaron Judge show if the rest of the team doesn't come through the way the rookie has. Last night in the Bronx, Judge hit his league-leading 25th home run, but the Yankees still lost to the LA Angels 10-5. Yanks led 5-1 early, but the Angels chipped away at the lead and forged ahead with a big 4-run seventh inning. The usually reliable Dellin Betances, who had not given up an earned run in 22 appearances, had a rough inning for the Yanks, giving up a go-ahead single to Albert Pujols after the Angels had tied the game on a throwing error by catcher Gary Sanchez. Andrelton Simmons then followed with a 2-run double as the Halos pulled away to take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Next up for the Yanks is a matchup of two pitchers who first made their fortunes in their native Japan, as Masahiro Tanaka takes the hill for New York against Yu Darvish of the Texas Rangers. Red Sox had the night off, and they host the LA Angels at Fenway Park tonight. The Red Sox will officially retire the number 34, worn by a fellow named David Ortiz, the greatest clutch hitter in the history of the Red Sox franchise. Now, the Red Sox are sending Rick Porcello to the hill tonight. This could very well be his last chance to avoid a bullpen demotion. Porcello won the American League Cy Young last year, but you wouldn't know it by what he's done this season, which is to lead the league in losses and sport an ERA over 5. Porcello has had trouble getting a sinker to sink, and he's been susceptible to giving up the long ball and giving up a lot of runs early in the contest, which he'll need to avoid tonight with the likes of Albert Pujols in the Angels lineup. Los Angeles has been dealing with searing heat all week, but it pales in comparison to the roasting the Mets suffered over the coals of the L.A. Dodgers, who finished off a 4-game sweep of the New York Mets yesterday, winning 6-3 at Dodger Stadium. Jock Peterson hit a go-ahead home run off Paul Sewald in the 7th, joining Enrique Hernandez and Justin Turner in the home run parade. And while the Mets continue their fall down the rabbit hole of the standings in the NL East, the Dodgers have forged their way into first place in the NL West. In Texas, the Rangers gained a split of their 4-game series with the Toronto Blue Jays, winning 11-4 in Arlington yesterday, thanks in part to a 2-run home run night from Carlos Gomez. Marcus Stroman took the loss for the Blue Jays. The Vermont Lake Monsters were held to just 4 hits by Brooklyn starting pitcher Trent Johnson in a 5-3 loss to the Cyclones at Centennial Field last night, third loss in a row for the Monsters after winning the opening game of their season. And Lake Monsters will try to avoid a sweep when they play the finale of their first home series against Brooklyn tonight. Vermont Mountaineers had the night off. They faced the Winnipesaukee Muskrats in New Hampshire tonight. The Upper Valley Nighthawks have now dropped 2 in a row after a 9-game winning streak. They lost 4-1 to the Valley Blue Sox last night.